KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, a bit is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right. We are here to rock your geek world with geek stuff.
Yes.
Geek world-y things.
Yes. And
it'll be awesome, trust us.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, you're not allowed to change the station, so...
Yeah.
I mean...
We control the vertical. We control the horizontal.
Everything.
But mostly the audio. But
details.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's just in the small little bylaws. But you don't need to read all that stuff. You just need to sit back and enjoy the radio show.
The fine print is inconsequential.
Exactly. So how have you gents been?
I'm pretty good. It's a... See, I haven't... Did I do anything exciting?
No, you didn't.
No, other than playing some Titanfall, which is very fun, I have not done anything incredibly exciting.
Well, anybody else? That's pretty good.
It is
a good start.
It is a lot of fun. I am finding that I like the aspects of the game that I like the most, and I think the smart pistol is one of them.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I got the sniper rifle, and I unlocked the ACOG for it, and it's pretty good. I actually like it quite a bit. But there's something about like being as highly mobile as you can be with the recon sniper kit, and the smart pistol is just very satisfying.
Yeah, if you get geared up with some of the SMGs, there's some interesting stuff you can do with them too.
Mm-hmm. Although I do say I really like the outfit that goes along with having the sniper rifle.
Yeah, they look cool.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, dang, I look like a Quarren. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, sadly, it's like, I don't really use the sniper rifle, but they look so cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of things that may or may not look cool, let's jump into the new releases.
Ooh, yes.
And we like to start off the new releases of the week in the theater. All right. The first movie is Brick Mansions, rated PG-13, in a dystopian Detroit. Or maybe just Detroit. Abandoned brick mansions left from better times now house only the most dangerous criminals. Unable to control the crime, the police constructed a colossal containment wall around this area to protect the rest of the city.
Huh.
One of Paul Walker's last movies.
Mm.
May he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, The Other Woman, rated PG-13. After discovering her boyfriend is married, a woman, played by Cameron Diaz, tries to get her ruined life back on track. But when she accidentally meets the wife he's been cheating on, played by Lisa Mann, she realizes they have much in common, and her sworn enemy becomes her greatest friend. Maybe wackiness ensuing later.
Probably.
And then we have The Quiet Ones, rated PG-13. An unorthodox professor, played by Jared Harris, uses controversial methods and leads his best students off the grid to take part in a dangerous experiment to create a poltergeist. And then finally we have Locke, rated R. Ivan Locke has worked hard to craft a good life for himself. With one phone call, that life will collapse around him.
Dang, that easy, huh?
It's a heck of a phone call.
Yeah, and I believe Ivan Locke is played by Tom Hardy. Or
yes.
Oh, okay.
Brain!
Yeah. Your punishment must be more severe. And speaking of more severe punishments, no. There's something that you might like as well, potentially to expand your DVD or Blu-ray collection this weekend. There is the movie Barefoot on DVD. The black sheep of a wealthy family has found the key to getting his life on track. That Key is a woman who has lived her whole life in isolation. Life gets interesting when he brings her home to meet the rest of the family. Eureka 7, Parts 1 and 2 are out on Blu-ray and DVD. It's an impressively animated show about rebellion, freedom, and the consequences of pursuing these goals in one's own heart.
Features, awesome until season 2.
It's Part 2 was... It features surf and skate culture that clashes with the totalitarian regime with giant robots, of course.
Right.
Then there's Panic Button on DVD. A group of friends are forced to play a deadly game of Simon Says while trapped aboard a private airplane.
Whoa. Mm.
Then The Suspect on Blu-ray and DVD. A stranger enters a small town. The town is then rocked by their first armed robbery of a bank. The police think it's not a coincidence, but the truth is always more complex. So that rounds out our Blu-ray and DVD collection.
All right, if none of those sound very good, or maybe when you're done watching every single one of those, you can move on to some video games.
Games!
The PS4 is finally getting Octodad, Dadliest Catch.
Nice.
And the PC is finally getting Dark Souls 2, which... I won at the IGN trivia night last night.
Nice.
Not for the PC, but for the 360. Then we have Demon Gaze for the Vita. Oz awakens to find himself in a misread, a cursed land at the globe's western frontier with a dark shroud covering certain memories from his past. Of course. The land in front of him contains many labyrinths that hold treasure and danger in equal volumes. Without knowing where else to go or what else to do, Oz commits to take up arms in order to hunt down artifacts and eke out a living in this world that feels so new to him. Then finally we have Fracht OSC for the PC. Fracht is a musical exploration game. You arrive in a forgotten place and explore the vast and unfamiliar landscape to discover the secrets of a world built on sound. You rebuild its machinery by solving puzzles and bring the world back to life by shaping sound and creating music in the game.
So was there a city built on rock and roll?
Maybe.
Sorry.
Was it smooth jazz? I don't know.
Where's that punch button? I kid. Where's the slap? That's
more. Let's see if gaming's not your bag, but you enjoy a visual entertainment that is a little more tangible. Perhaps some comic books. Over in DC, Catwoman number 30 came out this week, and it's the green flag is dropped on the Grace of Outlaws, the winner of which is the world's greatest thief. Selina can't let that one slide by, so she dons the mask yet again.
Wow.
Over across town at Marvel, that's Original Sin number 0. This summer, Marvel is shaking things up, and it begins here. Nova discovers something about the Watcher that will not just shape his future, but the future of the universe.
Slightly before Original Sin.
then at Dark Horse, it's Mass Effect Foundation number 10. Find out more about the exploits of a Kasumi Goto before she joins up with Commander Shepard.
I would probably read that.
Mm-hmm. And then from IDW, we have The Seventh Sword, number 1. A future samurai helps a peaceful city defend itself against a warlord with an army of robots. And then from down south, it's Sovereign, number 2. The Emperor is dead. Masked strangers arrive with a prophecy of coming apocalypse. Issue number 1 is also in its second printing this week, so if you wanted to catch up, now is a good time.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and to wrap up new releases, I've got a handful of some music. The first one is The Cautionary Tales of Mark Oliver Everett by The Eels. The latest release from the band, led by Mark Oliver Everett, was inspired by Lost Love. Then we have music from Republique Der Wolf, by the Ministry of Wolves. The album, inspired by the Grimm stories reinterpreted in Anne Sexton's Transformations, was created as a soundtrack for a theater production by the band led by Mick Harvey. And then we have Pop Psychology by Neon Trees. The third full-length release for the Utah band was influenced by the therapy sessions of lead singer Tyler Glenn. And then finally we have Honest, I Future, second full-length studio release for the Atlanta rapper. Features guest appearances from Andre 3000, Casino, Drake, Pharrell, Pusha T, Kanye West, and Wiz Khalifa.
Dang.
Nice. That's quite the
collection there.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for the new releases. We are going to take a music break and then, of course, come back with the news. But as we always say, but maybe for some of you new listeners out there, we love it when you participate. And Caleb loves to tell you how you can do that.
I do. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. Two words, and you'll find us. Or if you prefer the Twitters, you can find us there. Our handle is Robots Attack. Robot Attack Me. One word. And then if you want to email us, we are robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you just want one place to rule them all, one place to find everything you wanted to know, including archive episodes of the show, go to robotsattack.me. That's right. The best.
It's got everything.
Place to get everything.
Everything.
And it links back to all the other things I described. So if you want just one link, robotsattack.me.
It's the one shop smorgasbord for URLs.
Indeed.
All right. Let's get to the music. I'm going to play the artist Dum Dum Girls, the track Are You Okay from the album Too True. You are listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the Geek Centric Talk Show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are in the news, as the bumper indicated. Who would like to give us our first story?
Okay, I'll start. All
right.
Okay, if anybody has ever been frustrated with people that you've caught walking out of the bathroom without washing their hands, somebody finally came up with something to solve this. Now, it may be the most annoying thing in the world, but I think it'll do the job.
Okay.
So you plant these little sensors on the doors of the different bathroom stalls. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to have a good plan for urinals yet, but I'm sure motion sensors or whatnot can be added in the future. But
right, one thing at a time.
Right. For now, if you've used a stall and you leave the stall, it will immediately start whining at you, like really high-pitched, this thing. It's located right next to the sink, and the only way to turn it off is to press the button on it, which handily puts soap in your hands.
That forces you.
Right, exactly.
It's like, yes, that is. I can see that getting really annoying, but at the same time, that's sort of genius.
Right. I'm just imagining people like outwitting it eventually and just kind of dodging it and pressing it from above or something like that. But, but it is kind of genius. I'm sure eventually it'll be something that you have to reach in to press the button and then it'll get you no matter what. But
spray you down with some of that antibacterial stuff.
Something at least. But for now, it's just your basic everyday soap or liquid soap. Right now, it's being tested in schools and restaurants all across the Philippines. So not here yet.
No, not here yet.
Not annoying us yet.
Not yet.
But see, the added benefit of it is that by it being so loud and annoying, if somebody walks out and doesn't press the button, you know that they didn't do it, so you can stare them down.
Okay.
As you go and put soap on your hands without wanting to.
That reminds me. I don't know if we talked about it here or something else, but there was something where it was actually for a urinal. It was like on top.
The sink was on top of it. Yes, we did talk about that one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's also
all the cutting edge bathroom talk on a Robots Attack.
Learn about your newest bathroom achievements here.
Speaking of cutting edge
radio
talk, are you interested in free radio time? KSU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Email traffic at ksu.org or with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization.
Right on. So, from keeping your hands clean to keeping the world, keeping the air clean with weather control.
Okay.
Scientists are, I think they may have the beginnings of weather control using frickin' laser beams.
That's the best way to do it, officially.
Yeah, there's after that, it's like, what else, you know, what
right.
else?
But, other yeah. than trained sharks or something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so they found that if the idea is the, you know, lightning, thunderstorms are essentially a system of highly compressed static electricity in the sky
and
charged particles and stuff like that. Well, they found that if they can charge the particles with a laser, you end up creating the necessary environment for a thunderstorm. So
okay, well, is this kind of like the seeding clouds trick? Does it end up having unforeseen consequences, or is it just this, free? You're pumping the energy in, and that's it.
This is still highly experimental at this point in time. They're not certain exactly what its consequences will be just yet, but it sounds like it's
other than being expensive on the energy side.
Since. Oh yeah, yeah. But if you ever get around to, like, you know, getting ships that run off of seawater for producing the electricity, that might be a way to kind of short circuit that.
That could help.
But yeah, the people at the University of Central Florida's College of Optics and Photonics, along with the University of Arizona researchers, have created a laser. It's not just a single laser, like, you know, you're seeing with
that would be boring.
Right. This is what they call a dressed laser, where...
Wait, what?
Yes. They found that when you shoot a laser over a certain amount of distance, if you to keep it focused enough to do the job they need to do, it starts behaving oddly.
Okay.
Ergo, it begins to collapse in on itself. So what they found is if they put another laser around the core laser, which is doing most of the work, it keeps the energy it needs to keep projecting out correctly and behaving as they expect it to. So sort of an interesting... weird physics fact for the day. Lasers don't always behave like lasers. They don't always behave the way you expect them to once you start getting too start compressing them down enough. So
okay,
there you go. Hmm. A little science oddity for you.
This way you can say you learned something.
Mm-hmm.
In the news.
So from lasers to Minecraft helping the United Nations improve the world.
Huh.
It's about the same.
Mm-hmm.
4 years after the first teaming up with the creators of Minecraft in hopes of using the game to help reshape urban slums, an official from the United Nations says the program is a surprisingly effective tool. Quote, "The main thing for me is that it changes the relationship between professionals, like architects and urban planners, and ordinary people," says Pontus Westerberg of the United Nations Human Settlements Program. "It gives power back to ordinary people. The United Nations Human Settlements Program was established in 1978 with the idea of promoting socially and environmentally sustainable towns and cities. To do this, UN Habitat officials say it's important that all countries have a national urban plan, something Westerberg says that is, quote, really rare. That plan needs to include space for public space as a first priority," he says. "Public space is so important because without it, a city can't function correctly. Public space promotes social inclusion and diversity, improves urban safety, provides space for a democracy, improves health, creates a positive environment, and provides more space to businesses and markets."
Does your taxes.
And many more. No, makes Julian fries.
Ooh.
In tackling their public space program, UN Habitat officials struggled to get the community actively involved in the redesign work. "We started thinking about Minecraft," Westerberg said, "one of the world's most popular video games. When the UN reached out to Mojang, creators of Minecraft, 2 years ago, the developers were immediately really excited. The two groups formed the Block by Block website and set to work teaming up with a UK Minecraft team to have them recreate real-world public spaces designated for a redesign in Minecraft Block by Block.
Interesting.
The end result isn't picture perfect, but it's pretty realistic and it definitely does the job, Westerberg said. Once the site has been created in Minecraft, the virtual creation is brought to workshops with the community where participants can try their hand at redesigning the site in-game, walk around within the redesigns, and discuss the impact it might have. After a redesign is approved by the community, that Minecraft map is brought back to an architect who takes it and turns it into a plan. So,
I can just imagine like some of the architects trying to deal with Minecraft stuff. How am I going to make a 400-story fountain that sprays nothing but cats? How do I do that?
Yeah, I don't know if that one will get improved.
Right. You can't fix that.
I'm sure there's some sort of oversight in all of this.
Right, yeah.
But that would be funny.
But yeah, there's more to the story. And like all of our stories, we post to our Facebook page and tweet on our Twitter page. So you can check out the links there and you can check out the rest of the story. But I thought that was interesting, using Minecraft to not only make giant towers that spray kittens out of it, fountains and stuff,
right,
but to actually reshape the world.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat idea. And it's a good way to get the community involved as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of a community trying to reshape itself constantly and obsessively, the United Arab Emirates has become a place for every single crazy type of development project that you can ever imagine. So when they started looking for the coolest, newest park that they could possibly make, they ended up going to Thomas Heatherwick. And he came up with a really neat design. It's incredibly hard to explain, though, because it basically takes the desert and extends it over a dugout area that is an oasis sitting underneath a desert.
Okay.
So basically, yeah, it
the
makes
desert,
these little...
Instead of desert, part of another desert?
Well, I mean, the oasis isn't as deserty, of course.
Oh, okay.
But it ends up basically taking sand overhead areas that end up looking like a crackled seabed or something like that, where the cracks are exposing the underground oasis, which is a lush, beautiful park with water features and everything like that. So the kind of genius thing about it is that since this is obviously out in the middle of the desert and they've had certain problems with having water features not dry up immediately,
right,
this will create a ton of shade for said water features. And it just looks amazing. So they're in the process of putting it together, and right now the goal is to have it put together in 2017, completed. But I highly encourage you, look at the pictures that we're going to post, because this is a pretty amazing project, and hopefully it ends up going through.
Yeah, sounds really cool. So let's see, from public spaces and open spaces to space itself!
Whoa. Space spaces.
Spacey space.
Yeah. Spaced out spaces.
Space, yeah. It's wibbly wobbly, timey wimey stuff. Now, in this case, it's actually the sound of space. Yes, the sound of space.
Okay.
Is
this an aliens joke or?
No.
Or an alien joke, I mean?
No, you won't be screaming. Most likely, unless you just don't like this kind of music.
Okay.
But it's a group made a group of artists put together a album that features sounds from the Voyager 1 and 2 space probes as they have documented the fluctuations of the electromagnetic field as they have passed through the solar system.
Ah.
I just thought this was really cool because, like, you know, there's usually this like science or art debate. It's like, no. Science and art, science, art. This is the cool stuff. This is where the the rubber meets the road. Both the artists and the scientists can get together and enjoy this. It's a just really interesting kind of sort of sound. You can get it in a variety of formats, including a 12-inch vinyl.
Huh.
So there you go. A lot of fun there.
Yeah, that's definitely something we need to get clips of and have on the show all the time.
Speaking of things that might be fun,
yeah.
In a band that created a fun song for a
fun,
perhaps not the greatest film of all time.
Okay.
But new Flash Gordon movie being developed.
No way.
So all in our minds start, you know, singing the Queen Flash Gordon song.
Right.
So 20th Century Fox has picked up the film rights to Flash Gordon, the vintage comic book space adventurer whose exploits have been brought to TV and the cinema screens in various forms for almost 70 years.
Mm-hmm. Including the Ted movie.
The most recent notable incarnations of Flash Gordon were Sci-Fi Channel's 2007-2008 series. Barely remember that. And, of course, the 1980 classic movie featuring Sam J. Jones as Flash and Max von Sydow as his arch nemesis, Ming the Merciless. Not to mention the soundtrack by Queen.
Right.
Probably the one thing that most people remember fondly of the film.
It's probably the best remembered
what
part of it.
What are you talking about?
I think, you know, is John Rhys Davies in that?
I don't know for sure.
Well, anyway.
Sydow is pretty awesome as like a random Asian bad guy.
Yeah. Apparently, J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, writers of the upcoming Star Trek III, will pen the script based on a treatment by George Nolfi, the Bourne Ultimatum, the Adjustment Bureau. John Davis, veteran producer of many films from Predator to Paycheck to Chronicle, bought the rights to Flash Gordon from the Hearst Corporation. Yes, as in William Randolph Hearst and Hearst Castle.
Right.
Right on.
So, yeah.
Maybe
not.
It could be.
It's
John Rhys Davies is not on the cast list.
Okay. Oh, okay. It was somebody posing as John Rhys Davies.
Some other dude with the beard. Was Timothy Dalton in it?
Yes, Timothy Dalton is in it.
Okay.
Prince Baron.
Yeah, okay, because there's guys like with wings and stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's awesome, right?
It's.
I haven't seen that in so long.
Yeah.
It's something.
That was like one of those movies that they'd play every Sunday afternoon. Not every, but
yeah,
like really
just
often.
About. It felt like every Sunday as a child.
Right.
But speaking of things that are awesome, the San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have a limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Very cool.
Nice. So, our next story is somebody figured out how to stop children in their tracks.
Okay.
Just by remote control.
Interesting. How did they accomplish this with like a leash or a shock collar? I mean, how are you?
No, nothing like that. Surprisingly enough. It doesn't use any crazy high-tech stuff like that, but it is kind of cool high-tech stuff. It addresses the problem that parents have when they're trying to teach their kids how to ride a bicycle. You can try and teach them all of the balancing and whatnot, and the worst thing that happens as far as that goes is that they fall down.
Right.
But the big problem when you're an adult running after a kid is if he pulls off the driving forward but doesn't handle the braking side
stopping
of things
right.
that well. Well, they created a remote control braking system that you can attach to your children's bicycles that fixes that problem pretty handily, and it looks pretty slick while doing it too. And I'm not just saying that because it has one of my favorite color schemes of all time, but it may help a little bit.
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it's called the Mini Break, and it, I'm sure, will be showing up on practically every kid's bike from here on out.
It's a pretty good idea. Fascinating. So from remote control kid brakes to... Okay.
Where is this going?
We're
going
to go with remote control personas, if you will.
Okay.
It is...
you have piqued my interest, sir.
Recently, Obama went to Japan to rekindle some of the technology sharing that we've had over the years.
Right.
And one of the things he did was visit the National Museum for Emerging Science and Innovation, or MIRICAN. And the place is dedicated to like future technologies and education, which I think is pretty awesome in and of itself.
Yeah.
And then it
kind of like a Discovery Museum here in town or something like that.
Yeah, kind of like that. But this one's...
Except with higher technology.
Slightly larger budget, I'm thinking, it goes into this one.
Than like a craft room or something like that.
Yeah.
That's just what I remember from being a kid back. It may be incredibly high tech now.
I'm honestly not sure. But this particular museum is pretty much devoted to technology, and a lot of it is robotics technology, because Japan's become really big into robotics over the past few years.
Go figure.
Yeah, and you know if you've ever seen the Robo games in San Francisco or other places around the world,
I have not.
They're a lot of fun. But besides like, you know, the classic BattleBots challenge, they have a group of other types of robots that show up. They have sumo robots, which...
Okay.
And,
so basically stuff for less robots. Destructive people.
Yes.
Okay.
But also it works with different types of programming, AIs and stuff like that. Like how do you use the sensors and things? So they have displays of that, stuff that, different teams that, of students had made, and also they had one of the bipedal robots that you've probably seen videos
it's
of.
Bipedal
robots that you've seen in videos and stuff like that, and when it actually had it on stage with Obama, and at one point it's a bipedal one. Yes.
Okay.
The robot said, told Obama that he could kick a soccer ball to him, and obviously it worked, and it was just really interesting, because like afterwards Obama mentioned, yeah, it's a little creepy. these robots are a little too lifelike, not in like a frightened
and
way,
then he
just,
promptly outlawed them. No,
but I just find it fascinating, like how much a robotics as an art form and as a scientific exploration, how far they've come since, like, you know, guys in fantastic suits that with microphones pretending to be robots, kind of thing.
Oh,
like,
okay. I see where you're going.
Now, like, you know, we have the Osmo, which can actually walk on its own, and the set of Toyota robots that can actually like conduct and stuff like that. And this robot seemed like it was kind of in the vein of the Osmo. If it is an Osmo, it's a much newer grade of robots. Like, you can tell it's considerably smaller, a little bit more smooth in its motion and stuff like that. Mm.
Yeah. I think what's interesting is that the uncanny valley is not just applying to how things look anymore. Like, things can creep you out just by how well it actually functions with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, and that's kind of what, in some ways, what NASA and some of them are experimenting with. They have a robo-astronaut up there in the International Space Station right now. Mm. They're playing with the idea of having, like, an AI that sort of can be interactive with the astronauts when they don't have as much human companionship, or when they're just sick and tired of the humans they are stuck with.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, it's there's some really interesting vistas going to be opening up soon. So
yeah.
Sorry, astronaut guy. I will not sing backup in your David Bowie songs.
a nice little reference to that I think I've mentioned like 15 times already is if you haven't seen the movie Moon, check that out because it's very much about that sort of interaction. And Kevin Spacey voices a robot, which is kind of cool all on its own.
So. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
But it has nothing to do with actually mooning.
Not so much.
Okay.
I don't remember that portion of it at least.
I don't think the Mooner Knights are involved either.
Yeah. Yeah, they would be showing other things.
That's true.
Doing it as hot as I can.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Making sure if they could see it. So unless someone else has a story they desperately need to do.
Desperately need to?
I was gonna do our last one.
Go for it.
Are you sure? I don't want to deprive you of a story that will.
So you want this to be the last one, no matter what?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we're coming up to that time.
Okay.
So.
Go for it. I'll just shake it off.
Okay. Well, this one, how I mentioned those two previous writers in Star Trek III.
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. Now I'm not entirely sure how. I don't know if it's Orci. Or Orci, like how they pronounce it, but Roberto,
I believe it's Orci.
Orci is lobbying to direct Star Trek III, plus the writer, producer, and his longtime partner, Alex Kurtzman, are splitting up.
Huh.
The romance is over. Word has come today that longtime writing producer partners Roberto Orci and Alex Kurtzman are splitting up to pursue separate feature film careers.
Huh.
And Orci is gunning for the center seat on Star Trek III as the director, obviously, since J.J. Abrams is busy doing another
I'd forgotten
film.
About that. I assumed that he was still under some sort of crazy Star Trek contract or something like that.
I think he's
perhaps
still
as like
involved.
A producer something like that, I would imagine. Variety has the news on the breakup, which is said to be amicable and mainly to do with the fact that the pair are both looking to direct their own films now.
And hate each other.
Yeah. Oh. The team has been nothing if not successful with their work on the Transformers and the Star Trek films, as well as many TV projects, including Fringe, Alias, Sleepy Hollow. They also worked on the Amazing Spider-Man 2 script together. That movie's coming out soon.
Hmm.
In fact, the pair still has lots of projects in the works, including reportedly two more Spider-Man movies. That's right, two more. Kurtzman, in fact, was previously been brought in by Sony to direct the Spidey spinoff Venom, which he's scripting with Ed Solomon. His first feature directing gig was on the Chris Pine indie People Like Us. Chris Pine, Star Trek. Oh,
right,
that's the circle of all these people.
The Circle of Pine.
It could be that those two more Spider-Man films are The Amazing Spider-Man 3 and Venom or some other spinoff.
Ooh, Sinister Six?
It's a possibility.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, it looks like the two that have been so close together for so long are now striking out on their own.
Curse Blitzville.
So, again, you can read the rest of the article and check out pictures and all the rest of our articles on our... Caleb, remind them how they can do that again.
Well, you can find us on Facebook. You can do search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is RobotsAttackMe, all one word. Or you can email us, RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Or finally, one place to rule them all, one place to find it, RobotsAttack.me. That is where you go. Links back to everything else. And has archived episodes of all of our other shows.
All right, that's going to do it for the news. We're going to take another music break. I'm going to play the track Sweetheart from the artist Sleeper Agent from the album About Last Night. You're listening to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We'll be back with more right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We're in Geek Talk, and I'm going to talk about a very fun night I had last night. That's right, I had a fun time on a Wednesday night.
Hey.
I went
Wednesday. Impossible to do, I say.
I know, it shocks the mind, but...
Or at like the very least implausible.
Wednesday for the winners, huh?
Yeah, that... Yes.
True.
I like it. I like it. So what Caleb said, what I did that would match that is I went to the latest IGN trivia night that they hosted up in San Francisco where
Fun.
One of their offices is located. And I wasn't actually at the IGN office. They go to one of the local establishments and have a section squared off and do a trivia night from about 6:30-ish. It doesn't seem to start quite on time, right. But, you know, they have many things to get ready and do, and they want to make sure everyone has a chance to get there and participate. And then it goes to between 8:30 and 9, depending upon how wacky it gets and how many people and all of that jazz. So, anyway, it's a trivia night if you're unfamiliar. I've never participated in any. Besides these last two IGNs that they've put on. And it's been random questions, TV, mostly just kind of pop culture stuff, you know, stuff that we would talk about on this show.
Yeah.
Maybe not so many tech questions as much. Mostly more, like more if they culture. Were... if they
Video
were,
games, media.
Yeah, it would be like, you know... Okay, what system came out in this year or what was, you know, like one of the questions
top grossing
was...
movie of X year.
Yeah, like one of the questions last night was what was, what portable system from Sega, like, played Genesis cartridges?
Oh.
So, it, you know, tech sort of along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Okay.
So I ended up going solo and it was funny, I ran into a guy that's... probably like many of you out there, he's a friend on Facebook on my friends list, but I've never actually met him in real life. Like, you know, just through various other groups or that sort of thing, you know, we became friends on Facebook. So when I get there, I'm walking around and seeing like, oh, okay, since it's Wednesday, the last one I went to was on a Friday. Wasn't nearly as many people. It was still a lot. There was still a good amount of people there, but... the fact that it wasn't March Madness and it wasn't a Friday night probably explained why the place wasn't packed as
a little more open, a little more breathing room.
Yeah. So, because Jason went to the first one I went last, they seem to be holding them about once a month, kind of towards near the end of the month. So we went to the March one and,
And since it was a Friday on that one, it was, I think it was a little bit more packed for that.
Yeah, we actually had to sit sort of on the other side of where the bar is.
Right.
I got to sit in the like main area this time where they kind of roped off. So, and so, like I mentioned, I ran into one of my quote, you know, friends on Facebook. I like went by and I looked and I saw him. He was sort of leaning outside. I'm like, I recognize that guy. I think I know, you know, I went up with like, so-and-so, and it's like, yeah. I'm like, I think we're friends on Facebook. And like, oh, yeah. We were sort of talking a little bit, and then, you know, I was asking him, like, so did you come with anybody else? Like, can I join your team or that? So because the way they have it set up is, like, six people per team.
Right.
Max. So, max. So he wasn't sure if anybody else was showing up. It started to get kind of later, and so no one else, none of his friends showed up. So it was just he and I. Sitting at the table, and then this other group, some of their friends came, and but where they were sitting, the table was too small, so they ended up sitting where we were.
Okay.
So we just like I turned to my friend, was like, "Should we see if they want to like you know if we should just make a team?" So that was probably like the best decision of the night that I made because they like. We won every round.
Nice.
Oh,
like,
wow.
We tied two of them. Now, you can only go up, like, and get, like, prizes, like, once. As far as, like, if you win a round.
Right, right.
So, they're still, they do a cool thing, and they give everybody a raffle ticket, so you have a chance. Yeah. Like, the no big thing They had a couple big things. That probably the biggest one was a blue 3DS XL that they raffled out at the end. And then they did a like super duper special edition Elder Scrolls Online with like a statue kind of thing or something. And then
for the people who care, those statues are worth some money.
Yeah. So, and then I think they had a pair of like headset of some kind, some Tritons, I think, or something like that. But
nice.
But yeah, so they work it out. So you, even if you don't like win, you for still sure. have a chance. Like you can still win something from the raffle, and they do like, they do a lot of the raffles. I mean, they kind of split it up where they had a bunch of Alien Isolation t-shirts. Uh-huh. So they did like a lot of raffles for those. So, you know, it's like when Jason and I went last time, we didn't end up winning any of the rounds,
right?
But like I ended up winning one of the raffle prizes. So,
very cool.
So yeah, but yeah, teaming up with those, with the other three guys and gal was a good idea. Cause they knew a lot of the answers. Like I knew a few, but they were like, yeah, I know that one. Yeah, I know that one. And then so I was like, all right, cool. Yes. Excellent. Yeah. We're not even know when they're and the winner, the Donner after party. That was the name. Cause you name your team. And that's another way you can win. If they like think your team name is funny or good.
Right.
That's a way that I think the way they set it up was like one person from your team can go and pick something, I believe, for that. So, but yeah, it's just a lot of fun. It's just random stuff, and you'll like it.
Not to mention it's an excuse to head to San Francisco for a night. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. So that's always nice. There's plenty of stuff to do in
the city
around there. And so since it gets
in Frisco, just because I know that makes everybody in Frisco angry.
You did it twice.
Take that. But yeah, I highly recommend it. Unless something comes up, I'll probably hit the next one. I don't think they have the specific date yet for it, but it was a lot of fun. I did get sort of mad because they asked a question about The Wolf Among Us, and I just played that over the weekend, and they were like, what is the name of the strip club in The Wolf Among Us? I was like, oh, I just played that, and there's like a scene going right to it, and they show the sign, and I was like, I think, like no one else on the team knew, and I was like, okay, I know, it's they're using Georgie Porgy, he's the guy who owns the strip club, okay, they're using the name as Pie, like, and I was like trying to piece all the different things, and so we got like half of it right.
Oh, okay.
But so I didn't get a point. And the cool thing is like you don't have to get every single thing
correct
right to win. Right. It's just whoever has the most.
Right.
So you know, you don't have to worry about like, I didn't get all 10 or 12 right.
Yeah. Right.
If you get the most. And then if you tie, the way they sort of did is you pick one person from your team to go up and they do sort of like a elimination round, like the Eric Martin, the community manager, he would like hold his hands out and then ask a question, the first person to slap, you know.
Nice.
Have to answer it. So.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was good times. It was good times. I was like kind of prepared to be one person like team, but I was like, if I could find somebody that I can jump on, I think it'd be a little bit better.
Yeah. Two heads are definitely better than one in such a game as this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal for me, too, because I was trying to figure out how to go to the thing up until the last minute. But it was just one thing after another kept on kind of going up against it.
So, bummer.
Bright side is I got some overtime at work, so
that's something.
Yeah. Yeah, they... it's kind of funny when we won, our team won, they had us like, okay, you can pick from this spot on the table, you know, especially like, it's like games or they had a couple like anime DVDs and some other stuff. And then they had, I was going to grab it, but then someone else on our other team had grabbed it before and they said, okay, just one person can grab. They had like the huge, like hardbound Dark Souls 2 like strategy slash like art book guide.
Nice.
Dang.
So I was like, oh, I could grab that and give that to Jason. That they're like, like, oh, so when I have it, and it's like, oh, did you want it? I'm like, nah, because if like I wasn't part of your team, I never would have been up here anyway. Yeah. So it's like, you know, go for it. And so I was like, well, Dark Souls 2 on 360 and PS3. So it was like between Rise and Dark Souls 2. It's like, which one do I want? So I ended up just grabbing Dark Souls 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever get to it.
It still keeps
but...
winning awards. It's crazy. It's an award magnet.
Mm.
I think, though, since those were, they had a lot of copies of those at the one that we went to.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've finally like wiped them out. So depleted. Maybe the next one, they'll have some other stuff. It was definitely very Dark Souls 2 heavy.
Right. Yeah.
And stuff. But
yeah, there's definitely a big haul there every time you end up going. So it's cool having an opportunity to win some of that stuff.
Yeah. And they, the way they made it sound, they had like a bunch of 3DSs and they just raffled off one at the end of the night. So that might be like
a theme.
The big thing they'll do at the end for the next few until they
sounds pretty good.
Raffle them off.
Yeah, last time they did one of the statues. That was the big thing,
yeah.
If I remember right. Yeah, and I want to say it was like something crazy, like number one or two of the series or something.
Whoa, but what?
It was low, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Dang. So that's impressive.
I wanted to ask you, Caleb, since this is coming out fairly soon, are you excited for Amazing Spider-Man 2?
I'm very curious. I want to see where they're going to go with it.
Are you concerned that there are a lot of villains in it?
A little bit, but okay. At the same time, like I know they're setting up their own, like trying to get their own cinematic comic book universe. So I'm not like completely against it either. Mm-hmm. As long as they handle it at least somewhat well, you know, it looks like it'll be fun. And that's the one thing I do like about Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man is that
he's fun.
He does a good job of balancing the classic Spidey wit against like the more seriousness of the situations he finds himself in. So I like
that. He seems more genuine as like a geeky guy somehow, even though they introduced like the skateboarding stuff, which somehow makes him cooler. But I mean, there can be plenty of semi-athletic people who aren't like the best in social situations.
Yeah. It's very true.
And overcompensate with their wit.
Perhaps.
Or lack thereof. Or, I don't know.
Something like that.
Anyway, want to be a sports commentator, director, graphics, audio, or camera person? Learn that and more in the MC Sports Summer Workshop. Two sessions are offered July 14th to 18th for students going to grade 6 through 8th, and July 21st through 25th for students going into grades 9 through 12. Classes are daily from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We do have a limited number of needs-based scholarships available. Space is limited, 12 students per session. For more information, email sports@midpenmedia.org.
Very cool.
Cool.
That sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah, definitely a good way to get the youngsters to experience.
Get them psyched.
Get them into the world of media.
Yeah.
And fun.
Would have been nice to have some of those. When
yeah.
We were youngins. No, it was just,
kids these days get all the best stuff.
It's true. Us was just here. You see that bucket over there? Pretend that's something.
Right.
You like
and using
your
shirt is reminding me of G.I. Joe's. I had a lot of those.
Here's your salt shaker. There's some snails. Go enjoy.
I never had any of the popular characters, though. That's what ends up making me.
Oh, really?
I feel like I should go back and collect.
Did you just have, like, the generic Joes?
No,
like...
well, they'd still be named characters, but okay. They'd be, like, the ones from a special episode of G.I. Joe,
okay.
Where they spend the entire episode in the dark or something like that.
Like, hey, I think we should quiet.
Right, exactly. No, it was somebody who was really, really important for exactly one episode. And then all the rest of the time they treat him like, get away from me, nerd.
Yeah,
we don't need to dig a tunnel right now.
I think if not my favorite G.I. Joe, at least one of them, was sort of like one of those. Like,
okay.
Because it was Torpedo.
Uh-huh.
And it was whenever there was like water, something, it had like the scuba gear. So if there was an episode sort of related to that, like, oh, we need you to go down into the underwater base or that, well, then he's important. Like, right. Hey, he shows up. But other than that, it's like, it wasn't really around. So maybe that's what makes those ones like, kind of cooler because they were like
they weren't overused.
Yeah,
they
showed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's funny. I remembered liking Shipwreck a lot. I have no idea why. I think I saw him again, and he annoyed me for some reason. but yeah, even his costume is like really lame. Like, I don't think I'd actually want the figure, but.
He's got the parrot, and I think he was like trying to be Jack Nicholson sort of impression.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. With an extra layer of annoying on top.
Yeah, a lot of those things, if we were to go back and look at them now, mm-hmm. I'd be like,
which means he was the coolest guy ever when you were little, of course.
Yeah, so did you quickly just that I thought, did you ever see they took somebody, this isn't G.I. Joe, but it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so it's sort of along those lines, something we played with as children and watched. They took image of like Michelangelo from the trailer, like when they do the close up and he's talking to Megan Fox or you know, April O'Neil.
Right.
He's like, you know, it's just a mask. Like, it shows his face, right? So they have that image, and then they had like a fan had changed the nose and the mouth, so
I'd
it was round,
that.
Like the kind of classic look to him.
Right.
Yeah. I forget exactly what the meme like was like, here's, you know, the new one, and then like the better fan-made one or something. Yeah, I do kind of like that.
Yeah, there's an entire series of the better fan-made ones from all sorts of things.
But yeah, there's something to be... Yeah, I
he definitely looks more like a mutant now.
Yeah.
So I'll give him that.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
Is for sure.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I can see why they chose to do this, but I also sort of reject the choice they've made because I don't like it very much personally, but I don't like whole cloth like
I'm not gonna I'm not gonna watch it because of that, but
I'm guessing the main thing was that they wanted to convey emotions a little bit better with, and the voice capture, now that they're so good at making all of the lip movements with voice capture, they were probably having a hard time translating that to a more beak style mouth, but
yeah.
But who knows?
And it's one of those things, like, when it's an illustration, you can get away with so much stuff that just does not translate into film. Which is why comic books cannot be turned directly into movies. As much as you might want to try to do that, it just... they're two very different types of medium.
Right. And it's interesting, too, like, with those characters, kind of the gradual process of how they ended up looking the way that they looked for... The movies and the Archie comics and the cartoon series, they started out actually looking way more cartoony than even the cartoon series ended up. And
The very first iteration was like the artists and the writer having a joke party, and we'll sell this as a comic book. It'll be awesome, and then it kind of took off.
Right, and they made the comic, and people loved it.
Mm-hmm. And they go, well, I guess we can do something with this.
Right.
Sometimes the best ideas are those, I don't want to say throwaway ideas, but, you know, the ones you just don't expect to actually take off.
Well, and the funny thing, too, is best I understood, the artist for the original design that kind of got cast off, but a very beaky looking face, is the consultant for the movie. And so
interesting.
Revenge.
Right. Yeah. It's a very interesting swap.
Speaking of swaps.
Swap?
Meat?
Car?
If you would like to swap your ideas with
Us?
Yes.
Okay.
We love it when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If you've been to a trivia night, it doesn't have to be IGN's. Maybe if you did, I and the rest of us would like to hear your story.
How much you owned.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And what you think about, you know, Amazing Spider-Man 2. Or do you think too many villains? Is it going to spoil the soup? Or is it going to work out just right? Or
which villain do you hate already?
Yeah.
It's true. Or love.
Right.
We want to spread both sides of the mayonnaise.
Sure.
Getting a little awkward here.
And the Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a preference on...
On turtle lips?
Yeah. You prefer the round...
How much beak do you prefer?
Right.
There you go. Caleb, how can they let us know?
Well, if you want to... contact us, tell us what you think, interact with us. You can go to Facebook and do a search for Robots Attack, two words, or you can go to Twitter, reply to us, Robots Attack Me, all one word, or email us, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, one place to do everything, robotsattack.me.
And don't worry if it's because if you're driving in your car and we do not want you to respond, then
yes,
this is 24/7 social media attack.
Any
topic. Yeah. Just hit us up. Even if we're not at the station anymore,
mm-hmm.
we don't care. We'll see.
Even if it's 30 years from now.
if it's still available.
Twitter and Facebook are still going and we're still alive. And yeah.
Sure. Why not?
If you want to wait that long.
We prefer you don't wait that long.
Yeah.
Wait till you get home safe and sound.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
If that takes you 30 years, you should focus on why that took you 30 years.
Right.
Versus
perhaps buy better shoes. I don't know.
Yeah.
A compass, perhaps? I don't know.
It's true. Anyway, that's Geek Talk. We're going to take another music break and then come back with the core, some random topics for your... and enjoyment. I'm going to play the artist, the Jungle Giants, the track Don't Know What Else to Do from the album She's a Riot. Would you guys want to tease a topic for the core? Or
One thing that might be interesting is a possible habitable Earth-like planet that is outside the solar system.
Oh, outside. So we're going to have to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
I have to put like jeans on and get out of my sweats.
Yeah, definitely have to put on your pants.
Or actually put pants
shoes.
On.
Yep.
Versus like where I'm now, I'm just wearing my underwear. Like,
Yeah, and we'd appreciate you wearing pants next time. Please shorts or boxers.
I'll try. I was running late, so I just had to get here as fast as I could. But speaking of things that are super fast and that wear pants, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And you could do all that stuff with or without pants.
Indeed. And if you want to find us faster, do a search for our call letters, KSCU. It'll be more succinct than the 103.3.
Definitely. All right. Let's get to that music from the Jungle Giants. Don't Know What Else to Do from the album She's a Riot. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are in the core, and Caleb has our first topic.
Yes. I found this awesome story about Kepler 186f. Now, if you're wondering,
that's exciting.
If that didn't excite you, then maybe the fact that this is a Earth-sized planet in the Goldilocks zone, 490 light years from Earth.
So it's made of porridge?
No. Goldilocks zone is the space that very similar.
It's got bears on it. They found a planet of bears.
Yes.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Life.
Yes. Bears. Maybe. Stephen Colbert will be upset, but mm-hmm. bears.
But yeah, the it's one of the first exoplanets that has been found by the Kepler space telescope, which is in the realm of being as close to Earth as we have found so far.
What does the exo stand for?
Exo meaning outside of our solar system. And a while back I mentioned that there was some debate over where the actual edge of our solar system is. And if that was a confusing statement, because it seems like there should be a defined edge, the edge is a bit wiggly in terms of like where people think it is, because it's where the effects of gravity of our sun or our star stop. Like where once you reach that point, that's the quote unquote that is what they term the edge of the solar system.
So how does Pluto work then? How does it stay?
Well, Pluto is on the fringe of everything, and it's
The fringe. Okay.
Yeah, and it's also not really a planet.
It's
anymore.
Not an edge. It's a fringe. Planetoid. Is not an edge, but.
Yeah, it's out there in the outer reaches, and it be curious to know how it actually came to be stuck out there. But the
just got lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's guys, Mickey's dog, after all.
I mean. Guys, my GPS said to turn left, and now I don't know where I am anymore.
Right. Primordial GPS.
Yeah. So yeah, this planet. Is circling a red star.
So is that good? Is that better for Superman or?
I don't know.
His planet was a red sun, right? Or no?
Yeah, Krypton had a red sun.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And when he came to Earth with the yellow light, it started to affect his body differently.
Turned him into an energizer of awesomeness.
Something like that.
An inner awesome-gizer.
In layman's terms, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
we don't really have the time to get into the actual science behind the whole sad thing. Right. But
it's all been figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all there in the books.
Yeah. The other
the papers with the inks.
Yeah. One of the coolest things about it is the fact that it actually is existing in the habitable zone between too close to the sun to be and be scorching like Venus, or too far from the sun to support life like Mars. It's like it's in that. And it's just interesting because, like, well, if we do find another planet like us out there, what would it actually be like? Could it also be supporting life? And if it didn't generate life, maybe it could continue life once we got there. Like, it could actually be colonized, perhaps. It's a long way away. It's several hundred light years, which is. A lot of distance. I don't want to go through the numbers of how
we'll get
how much
there eventually. We may need to hitchhike or something.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, here's a question that maybe is like too deep for my brain.
Uh-oh, break
and
it
I
down.
Shouldn't even be asking it. Is it perhaps better if there is no life on the planet, because that could mean that it's safer for us? Not just in terms of like big monstrous things, but. Like random diseases and stuff like that we have no way to cope with. Is it better for us to go to a dead rock?
that's a very fair question, and that also gets back into the idea of, like, you know, if life is out in space, what is it? Would it potentially be like microbial, like a virus or something like that?
Right.
In which case,
there's a lot of those.
There's potentially a lot of those. I mean, viruses in and of themselves, there's quite a few of them here.
Right.
And whether one would survive space or not is a question to ask. Like the Andromeda strain, if you've seen that movie.
Yeah. I asked it. It said yes. And it's scary.
But But yeah, it's fascinating to see what will become of this. And it's also like one of the better finds that Kepler, like Kepler has been finding planets, but like this is the one that actually kind of like cements, like this is why we put it up there to find, to really like, we're looking for planets in general just because it's fascinating. But also if we can find ones like Earth, like we can learn so much more about our own planet and its formation. Yeah, once we,
that's true. And as soon as we can get Titans on it, we'll get to work.
Yep. Yeah,
what was, wasn't there a satellite recently that found something, I don't think it was this, it found something cool but like before it broke down or something, or it was
There's the one that's around Jupiter right now.
Okay.
I can't remember which one that is right off the top of my head, but yeah, there's a Jupiter probe that's been circling it for the last, I don't know, like 15
3,000 years.
Like, no.
100 years.
There you go. It sounds...
you can't die, you're immortal.
It said that?
The quickening, the quickening.
There can be only one. As you can tell, I'm an Egyptian Spaniard from my accent.
Okay. There can be only one.
There can be Obi-Wan?
I'm Christopher Lambert.
That's pretty spot on, actually. That's pretty good.
It's kind of like Van Damme and Lambert together.
Lamb-damn.
Oh, you know what? That's good. Christopher Lambert. Should they get Christopher Lambert to be in like Expendables 4 or 5?
That would be pretty good. Yeah. There's so many people that you can put in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they can get John Rennell and Christopher Lambert together.
They need to have like a mostly female one at
They're working on that already. Yeah. The Incredibles.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. They went there. But when the mission's just too tough for the men to handle, send the Incredibles or something like that. It's pretty ridiculous.
I have mixed feelings about the name at the very least. Other than that, cool idea.
Yeah.
So they're all Southern, is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're like, they're stationed in Georgia or something. Or
okay,
Louisiana,
that would make,
or
that would make more sense.
I don't know.
Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and Gambit will show up.
Yeah.
It makes sense. He'd be all over that. Yeah.
Did you guys see the little like blurb about them trying, there was rumor of not Taylor Kitsch. He's already done it.
Channing Tatum
to be Gambit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Supposedly he has background in the area.
I don't care.
He's I know it. I think it said like it's one of his favorite characters or something. Or he'd be like really excited
No, he's not allowed to be geeky at all. Guy.
You're too handsome. Stop it.
You know, I gave him a freebie by deciding that I'm okay with what is it, Jupiter Rising or
Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, that's my one thing. I'm not gonna give him any more than that. That's it. I'm done.
The movie where we count down the minutes till Sean Bean dies.
Which is most of the movies that he's in.
Right, that's like all of them.
It looks like, at least from the trailer, I mean, I know this doesn't have really anything to do. Well, it's space, and there's planets, and maybe this is where these Jupiter people are.
Mm-hmm.
in Goldilocks Bear Planet.
Right, yeah.
Maybe that's where Mila Kunis' character like originated from, and then they, you know, came to Earth and stuff. But anyway, at least from the trailer, it looks like Sean Bean will last a while.
Most of the film?
Yeah. Yeah.
They show him, like, I think flying a spaceship or something like that. So that looks like it would be like more towards the end of the movie. But
I think arguably the most violent movie that he's been in is the one that he survived in, is Ronin. Because he gets like kicked out of the squad.
That's true. Yeah.
It's like, no, spoilers. you're dumb. Just get out of here. Keep on with your showboaty Shawnee ways.
We're doing you a favor. We're saving your life.
Oh, right.
We're firing you.
Right.
If you stay, it will end in tears.
You'll die.
Yeah.
But maybe you're used to that.
Right.
Him and Watanabe, the guy from Last Samurai.
Oh, Kim right,
Watanabe.
Right.
Yeah, he's. I don't.
He dies a lot, is what you're saying?
Yeah, well, I can only think. I think Inception was the one where he actually survived.
Oh, okay.
That I can think of.
Okay.
We had an Inception question at that trivia night.
Oh, nice. Okay.
What was Leonardo DiCaprio's character's name?
Oh, geez, oh. I could not tell you.
Is
it Mandy Patinkin? That's what it was.
It's the last name of a baseball player.
Okay.
An old baseball player.
Okay, Ruth?
No.
No.
But, you know, one that, like, most even non-baseball, like, I'm not Robinson? Really in the baseball, would know of the name.
Okay.
But,
I can't remember now.
I don't even fall into that like level of
Cobb.
Cobb.
Ty Cobb.
Ty Cobb. Right.
Have you heard of Ty Cobb, baseball player?
Sure, all the time. The only reason why I honestly know like Babe Ruth even is because
it's
like
a candy bar.
No, like
the John Goodman.
Well,
movie.
Okay, yeah, I like John Goodman a lot. So I saw. Oh, he's yeah. Okay. So that's a person.
Wait, this movie's about the candy bar?
Oh, right.
Well, John Goodman, he likes to eat. So
yeah, and then it blew sense, my right? mind, like Yogi Bear being mildly like based on somebody. Anyway, the next story that I actually kind of wanted to focus on for at least a little while was...
Before that, though.
Right.
We mentioned, like, bears.
Okay.
And candy bars.
Right.
You don't want to give your pets candy bars.
No.
Not generally.
And you probably don't want to give your pets bears. You don't want a pet bear.
Yeah,
as cool bear. As you would think that would be, it's just not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's they just... deserve to be in the wild. It's mm-hmm. That's their natural habitat. Like.
Yes.
Not, what if my bear not, was raised in a lab? Like that's, grown in a test tube.
That's weird.
It knows nothing else.
But anyway, if you're an animal lover and wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you got limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at SanJoseAnimalAdvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Cool okay. deal.
Yeah, there was a revelation that GameStop is actually closing stores.
What?
And it doesn't sound like it's necessarily like...
about this vaguely.
Right, it doesn't sound like it's necessarily because the stores are failing or anything like that. It's because they're kind of switching gears, is at least the way that they're framing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it brought up some interesting ideas for me, just because I guess what they're trying to say is that they've had a lot of success with all of the iDevices that they've been buying up like crazy,
mm-hmm.
like and all of that stuff. And they want to get deeper into the mobile market. Now, what they didn't specify really was whether they were going to try and have more of an online mobile presence or if they were going to try and start new stores that are specifically mobile devices.
Okay.
But they're closing down stores in order to apparently ramp up for this event. And it's not like a ton of stores compared to their thousands and thousands of stores.
Yeah. I think I saw like 120.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It out of, I think it was like 4,400 some.
Yeah.
So.
People probably won't even notice.
But yeah, it just... it was an interesting idea to me, just because in my mind that kind of says more, like what Amazon is trying to do, have more of a footprint with mobile devices and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just trying to figure out what the heck would that be for GameStop? Is that investing in smaller games?
And they might try and make themselves like the preeminent like games location in the stores, like, you know, if like you can get stuff, mobile games, from the Play Store or the App Store, but like maybe if they are the kind of like the premier title place, the place to find like the information, like everything you wanted to know about them, where people could.
It seems like that would be an uphill battle though at this point.
Because they're doing a lot. I mean, this isn't exactly mobile, but it's like online. They're doing a lot of like, you know, buying online download codes, like for games. Right. So like, mm-hmm. oh, you can buy a download code from, you know, from GameStop for mm-hmm. a game. Like, I've noticed they're starting to do that more and more
mm-hmm.
for things. So it's like, I'm wondering if they're. It's so weird. It's sort of the backlash of a lot of people seem to be more interested in doing mm-hmm. digital. Like, I want to get my right. games digital. I want this, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just getting more and more popular. Mm-hmm. You know, a group tried to do that early on and everyone got really mad and yelled at them. And so they had to change that. But yeah. apparently, like, that's
still widely like accepted as the way things are going.
The way that things are going. And so I do sort of wonder if like GameStop is like, since it is just, I mean, I feel bad for the people who are getting laid off and, mm-hmm. right. you know, but since it is a small amount of stores compared to the amount there are,
right.
if they're maybe like trying to do kind of like a test market type of thing with this,
I was wondering if they were going to try and flip the stores into a different store or something like that.
Yeah,
just because, I mean, they obviously got as big as they are just because they bought up every other store that was vaguely related to the types of stuff that they were. I mean, Electronics Boutique, they just grabbed every single location and turned it into a GameStop, even if there was already a GameStop like next door. So
double the GameStop.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know how popular those, like, I mean, I know for people that buy stuff from Steam or even other like good old games or some of the others, like where it actually ends up like you get like a Steam code essentially, but you know, on like Amazon getting games to them and Origin and that sort of thing, like
third party coders.
I don't know how popular it is. Like if people are buying like GameStop's like download code for here's the download code for the latest map pack for this. It's like I could just buy it through the, you know, whatever systems store you're doing get it.
Like, I've always chalked that up to people's comfort level. Like people feel more comfortable grabbing a lot of that stuff from the store and paying cash for it instead of having a digital trail to their digital devices, I guess.
Yeah. But, and I guess you could use, like, since, you know, you can trade in.
Yeah.
That's true.
Use games, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I do wonder what their ultimate, like what they are trying to kind of carve out people to go to. Because, I've noticed a lot more. I'll get newsletters from them saying, like, hey, your cell phone's worth this much or your tablet's worth this much. Like,
right.
you know, if you trade it in, like, they seem to be ramping that up more and more.
It is the fastest growing section of the gaming market, like the portable gaming, like that isn't the DS. It's all cell phones and tablets, and that's going like great guns on almost every single platform there is.
Right.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, you the question you pose, like what they're trying to get out of it is just people, them being like the storefront for all that stuff, or if they're going to actually try to have their own sort of, I don't know, if like game development
right.
type of thing. But
yeah, there's all sorts of different directions they can go. And
I mean, I know they have, or at least they did. What was it? I think it was called, was it Conglomerate? There was something.
Congregate.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do they outright own that, or are they just affiliated with it?
I think they own it. I will research that.
Because, that was kind of an interesting thing where you could actually use their sort of tokens that you earned off of things and put it towards Congregate games and purchase them that way, which ended up feeling weird to me. I felt like I was kind of cheating the games somehow. Like, I bought a couple of them that way, but it just seemed weird to me. Like, okay, well, I want to support the small game developer, but at the same time, am I really doing that here by giving them fake money from their employers? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, it looks like from this press release, it is GameStop outright owns Congregate.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I wonder. I mean, because if you look at when we spoke about Amazon, you know, they bought Double Helix and they got new. Like, is this a like? Do you see GameStop perhaps doing something?
Yeah, I really don't know. And the thing that I noticed about the Congregate games, especially, is that since they are, it seems like primarily Flash-based games for the PC, it seems like it's not impossible to start porting them onto these devices and figuring out ways to do that. So if you have ways to kind of leverage that, it seems...
Yeah, and there's a number of them that actually are, like, they have, like, icons for the App Store and Google Play Store on the game tag.
Yeah, he's slider. Actually on the site right now for Congregate.
So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a little bit of, I don't know, they might start actually, like, leveraging some of that, because there's a number of people that projects that have been started up to kind of like take Flash and HTML5 based developments and turn them into portable games.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, you know, you put them into they call it a wrapper. And it's a phone gap or something like that. And then you can play the game on your mobile device as if it was an app, but it's still technically a mobile game, whatever.
Okay.
Hmm. Do we have the a link to that story that we can
all
post it?
Yeah.
Okay. That way we can get the audience suggesting what they think. What do you think GameStop is ultimately trying to do? Because, I mean, I would imagine, at least in the back of their mind, I mean, they probably, like, did a, like, when the PS4 and the Xbox One, like, still... allowed used games and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to figure at some point, as more and more people start to, you know, do digital only, if, you know, like...
Yeah, it seems like they're preparing for that. It seems like it would be the smart move for them since Xbox is... And since the gaming consoles are... creating a street around them, sort of.
Yeah. I mean, it's still going to be a while since not everyone has the greatest internet connections.
Right.
You know, as
And best I understand, they're still making a ton of money off of the trade-ins, just off of mobile devices. That's apparently done tons and tons of business for them. I'd like to know the exact numbers compared to games, but still.
A lot of those devices have a fair amount of resale value.
Oh, yeah. Especially at a place like that where where people kind of take for granted that they're going to not get...
the latest, greatest?
Well, I mean, not just that, but like they sort of bargain on not getting a ton of money back for something, but they're okay with it because they're trading it towards something else and they'd rather have that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's a fair point.
It seems like it would grow things pretty easily that way.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how it turns out. And I think it'd be kind of smart of them to actually get into real development as well, because then they can actually have, you know, sort of a force of nature beyond just the trade-in value stuff.
Yeah, and we don't really know for sure how much development side stuff they do with Kongregate either, or mm-hmm. if it's just a warehouse for all of that stuff.
Yeah. I'd be curious to know that too. Anyway.
I'm going to mention one last thing.
What's that?
Because
what's that?
It's happening this Friday.
Okay.
And I want to give a shout out to my buddy Alfredo at IGN. There's going to be a live Titanfall tournament.
What?
This Friday, April 25th. IGN's undefeated Titanfall tournament team is competing in the MLG Game Battles online tournament. You can watch it at the link on the story that I will post on our page, starting at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. They have, after 57 straight wins and winning three tournaments, 3v3 last Titan Standing, 4v4 last Titan Standing, and 5v5 variant. They're playing in a single elimination event with 64 teams. The 6v6 tournament is 3 games per round, and you can catch the stream from the IGN's Twitch TV channel. And,
crazy.
Yeah, they've been like...
Learn how to fall like a pro Titan.
Yeah. So,
dang.
So yeah, definitely check it out. He's very, very good. And he's a cool dude to boot. So that's going to wrap up the show for tonight. Coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show. Stick Pre-funk around for some good show. Music. We'll be back next week. And yeah, just... Have a great weekend, y'all.
Take care, everybody. Trucking.
Raccoon. Verona. Mixto.